more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. This is your host, Dr. Terry Mason. The show, The Doctor in the House, and it's heard every Sunday right here on AM 1690 WVON. And we are always glad to be right here doing what we're doing, bringing you, the community, information that you not only need, but you can use. And so today I'm honored to have two distinguished gentlemen on. One I know from my time when I was with the city, State Representative Marcus Evans. State Representative, how are you this morning?
Hey, just honored to be in your presence. So you know how I feel about you, man.
Oh, no. Everything is good, State Representative Marcus. And, of course, Dr. Gotti from the Cancer Center at the University of Illinois UI Health Center. Dr. Gotti, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Well, you know, we're going to get right into, because you've got some interesting things that you and State Representative Marcus are working on, Marcus Evans are working on. So let's dive right into that. You're at the Cancer Center at the University of Illinois. Let's talk about what it is that you're doing and how the state rep, he's always been right on top of these things. I remember him from my days at the city. And State Representative Marcus Evans, for any number of reasons, has always been active. And we're going to hear his perspective, too. So why don't we go ahead? We'll start with you, Doctor, and then we'll go straight to State Representative Marcus Evans. Go right ahead.
Yeah, sounds good. So, you know, we at the University of Illinois Cancer Center, UICC, have been on a decades-long mission, to make sure that the best things that are being done in cancer reach everybody as fast as possible without delays and implemented in a way that it's safe and effective, right? Safe and effective for everybody out there. And this is a multi-pronged approach. It starts first and foremost with our community, asking folks who live in the communities that are suffering from these diseases to say, what matters? What are the things we should be looking at? Because it's not the same as us thinking something is important and telling you it's important. It's more important, I think, to find out from the people who are dealing with these issues to say, how do we help this problem? What are the problems? How do we help them, help us, guide us? And then let that inform what we actually come in and investigate. So that's one piece of it. The other thing we feel really strongly about is that for us to best address these problems, the doctors, the nurses, the pharmacists, the researchers, need to come from these communities. And so we work real hard all the way down to kindergarten, all the way up to college graduates, engaging folks from communities that are beset by these age-old problems and saying, come join us, help us figure this out, and be part of the workforce that's going to solve these problems. And that of course, means trust, right? That means it's different for an outsider to come in and say, we got these issues, let me help you solve them, than when you say, I'm from these communities. I understand these problems. I'm going to help solve them alongside the folks that are in those communities, right? So that's one other component that we really take pride in. And then lastly, you know, there's not a single thing in cancer that we can't do better, either because we need better medicines or better diagnostic tools to understand why these cancers are happening. And the only way to make those improvements is through research. And so that's something that we really think deeply about. How do we engage the community, understand the value of this research? How do we sell people on these ideas? And then lastly, how do we get them to participate on these trials? I've got so many examples. I'm sure we'll all get to share these over the course of the next hour on what happens when we don't participate in research and we then try to use these new medicines and whatnot in patients and you know, sometimes find that they're not working the way we wanted them to, putting people at risk and harm. So we can't have that happen anymore. So, you know, just multi-pronged approach, I could probably spend a year nonstop talking about how these things are coming into play. But that's kind of where we're, that's a perspective that the UI Cancer Center is really taking on all of this.
Well, it's only fitting that we have a state representative with you at the state school to put in some insight from a couple of different levels. So, State Representative Evans, it's good to see and hear you again, man. It's been a while.
Oh yes, sir, always. And again, thank you for all of the years of work that you've done helping Black people stay alive, and the work continues. Yeah.
So let's talk about your role in what's happening at the University of Illinois. How are you, State Representative, involved? And I know part of it is because you are a state representative and this is a state school. So I know that you want to, but there's some other things. You want to enlighten us about that, if you will?
Oh, for sure. And keep in mind, you know, the University of Illinois is our flagship university. So we all should support the University of Illinois. And I was born at the University of Illinois Hospital. So the University of Illinois Hospital is special to me. And the researchers and the doctors, the University of Illinois, are just doing spectacular things. But the question when it gets to us in the Black community is, how can we best utilize the University of Illinois, right? We want to benefit from the research. What the doctor's telling you, what my friends that are researchers across the country are saying is, we need more Black people to participate in clinical trials. They need a diversity of pool. If they create a new medicine, they need to, or a strategy, not always medicine. Sometimes it's just a strategy. They need to test it out on all different types of folks, tall folks, short folks, Black folks, white folks. So we need Black people considering clinical trials. And, you know, I didn't get a lot of A's in chemistry and biology, so I'm jealous of both of you men. Y'all are brilliant people. I wish I could have been a doctor. But because I'm not a doctor, the question is, what could I do within my role? Somebody listening on this call, if you go to a church or you're part of your social organization, you may not be a doctor, but what role can you play to make the community more healthy? And that's what I try to do as state rep. What could I do in my role? So I filed a bill, Dr. Mason, and the bill is basically pushing any institution that receives money from the National Institute of Health, NIH, that you have to have a focus in diversity and clinical trials, because it's truly life or death for our people.
No, there's no question if that's the case. But why don't we talk a little bit about what is a clinical trial? I know I've talked about that before. And what are some of the perceived barriers that you see, State Representative, from your vantage point? And then we'll get back to the doctor and look at the vantage point from his perch. So, State Rep, can you just tell us from your point of view, what do you think are those barriers to clinical trials? And then what might be some strategies to overcome?
The first thing is the fear and unknown, you know? I mean, you worked in the medical field, Dr. Mason, you're a doctor, and people are fearful of what they don't understand. So the more we talk about it, we get rid of the fear. That's the first thing. And the second thing is the importance. Why is a clinical trial important? You know, people are studying medicine. They're learning every day. You know, you all know 100 years ago, you know a lot more than you did today. So, and that's because of research and trials. And so in order for medical service to get better in our community, we got to participate in the process. So it's just a conversation of having people understand, you know, how do they know that this sleep acne, you know, process works? So they tried it out on some people. They had people to go through the process. How do they know this breathing machine works? They had to do some trials, you know. So things don't just happen because they happen. You have to have trials. So can explain that to our community, because we had the TV Institute issues back in the past, you know, fear and distrust. The issue. So the way we get over that is through communication. And I appreciate you using this platform Because whoever's listening now, we're talking to them now and saying, you know, let's get rid of fear and distrust and let's go with communication and understanding.
I think that is really clear because we've had been and having this show every first Sunday of the month with the Cancer Center at U of I, going back to the days when Dr. Wynn was there, and really dealing with trying to deal with some of these issues of distrust and misunderstanding. You know, a lot of times people think they're being guinea pigs or this, that, or the other, and they don't know what's going on. So, you know, Doctor, can you talk a little bit from where you sit with clinical trials and what have been some of the barriers that you've had to deal with and how did you create a strategy to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first is trust, right? And we highlighted that, and we can't take it for granted. And it's not just earning trust, it's maintaining trust all along the continuum. And the way you do that is communication and disclosure. When we have a good thing happen, we share that back with the community, with the patients who participated. When a bad thing happens, we got to do the same thing, right? That's how those things, when you don't share and disclose, that's how you erode trust. So that's a big, big component of it. But let's just say I got your trust, right? Let's say you gave, we earned that, we got it, we're keeping it, we're doing a good job with that. What's the next step? Well, here's where it gets interesting. And this is where really talking to the community and saying, okay, what are the needs? What do we need to solve? Oh, you're telling me breast cancer is a real problem in this community. Well, let's look at that. Why is it a problem? Oh, you mean to tell me the tests we're using to figure out how aggressive your breast cancer doesn't work in Black people? That's actually a story we just developed here at University of Illinois Health, and we're now broadcasting it to the entire world to say this test everybody's using, where we're trying to get away from using chemotherapy, we're basically under-treating some women because of that test, and we can't have that happen. So let's go back to the drawing board. What other tests do we need to develop? How do we do this in a trial to figure out where we can safely tell some women you don't need chemo and the rest of you still do? And you know, we got to figure that out. So even if after we publish a result, we got to come back and revisit it, because we find out that not enough Black women participated in those clinical trials, and then we figure something out, and then we say, oh, let's go figure out now if it works in the Black women, and then we find out it doesn't, well, we can't keep using it, right? So we have to go back and say, let's design a study where we can properly address this question. And that's, you know, to Rep. Evans' point about not just the treatments, but how we figure out how to use these things, these tests and things like that. And then lastly, the clinical trials piece, where we're talking about actual drugs, right? There's a lot of fear, and you use the word guinea pig, and you know, we got to get away from that because that's part of trust. But truthfully, some of these trials, everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows what they're getting. And then there are trials where we don't tell people because we got to figure out if it's really working or not. And we just have to be honest. And maybe that trial's not for that patient. We can't cram it down somebody's throat. We got to have like a back and forth dialogue. And if they can see the viewpoint that we're expressing in a clear, articulate way, they'll sign. And we provide the same care regardless of whether or not a person participates on a trial. We got to make that clear. And then lastly, people think once they get on a trial, they're stuck on the trial. And if for some reason it's not okay anymore, a patient has the right to stop. And so you don't have to feel trapped. And I think if we expressed all of these things honestly, forthrightly, in a trustworthy manner, we can get people to enroll. And so at UI Health, for example, I'll tell you, compared to the entire country, when you look at cancer clinical trials and you look at the proportion of patients who are Black, as an example, getting on these trials, it's about 1-3%. And these drugs are getting FDA approved, and then we start using them, and they don't actually work that well. At UI Health, if you look at 100 patients we've enrolled on all our clinical trials, 79% of them come from Black and Latino communities. 79%. We're crushing it. And the way we do that is, like I said, we earn trust. We bring trials forward that actually matter to the communities, or if they don't exist, we design those trials to help the community. And then if you do all of those things right, you can get people to trust you and be on these trials. So I think we've got proof of that, and we're real proud of it. Now what we're really trying to do is help it. More importantly, everybody around the country can do this.
This is really important. And for those of you who are listening right now who have a question, you want to address to state representative or to the cancer associate director or director. Please give us a call here at 773-591-1690. That's 773-591-1690, because we want to get your question in. And both of the gentlemen, both of the people here on this show today want to get that input. There are some things. I can remember my days when I was working along with prostate cancer, and trust is the key. Trust is the key. People will do a number of things if they trust you, even if they don't understand. But if they know they can trust you, that you're not going to do anything that's going to harm them, then they will understand. State Representative Evans, what is your legislation trying to do, or are you opposing new legislation? What's exactly happening in that era, in that sphere?
Yeah, well, you know, Doctor, I'm a cancer survivor, so I was diagnosed in 2006 with Hodgkin lymphoma. I had a thoracotomy surgical procedure, and I went through chemo and all of that. So I experienced, you know, the medical system firsthand, you know, and thank God for the people that participated in the trials prior to me, you know, utilizing the chemo, because they had a strategy to attack my T-cell lymphoma. It was because of research. So I'm here because of research. And so I take that with me down to Springfield. And the doctor said something key. He said, you know, we have to design things for different types of people. You know, if the black people have a particular distrust or discomfort, design a clinical trial that makes sense. The bill that I'm pushing for is saying, listen, if you get money from the National Institute of Health, NIH, you need to design a diverse clinical trial program. You know, and this goes to everybody, all of the major folks. U of I is already doing it, but we want Loyola Medicine. We want Advocate. We want anybody that's receiving top dollars to help our people actually do the work and to do it in a way that they're going to receive it. You know, design your clinical trials, produce good results. We could save, you know, generations of lives. And so this is what this bill is saying, that, you know, put the work in for black people, because it's really life or death. And I passed it through the committee of public health. I'm the vice chair of the Illinois House of Representatives public health committee. And I'm going to be calling the bill, and hopefully we get it through the Senate and to the governor, because it's truly about saving lives and helping people to get over this. You know, hopefully years from now, this won't even be a discussion, and clinical trials will be something that we get mass participation in. But until then, we got to put the work in and change the minds of the people, because it's really for the good of all of us.
No, that's absolutely true, and I applaud you. You've always been right there. Even I remember back when I was at Citi, you were right there trying to be in the vanguard of how we make these things better. And it's always great to see our state representatives, especially those working like you and the ones that support you by helping to pass the bill through to do this marvelous work. And so we want to thank you and all of the bill co-sponsors and those who have supported the bill moving through. We want to let them know that they have. And even if they want to come on and say why they did, I'd love to hear from them and let the people hear from them. Doctor, I know that we've had a number of conversations this Sunday being the first Sunday. We always have the UIC Cancer Center on. It's been on since Dr. Nguyen was here. And wanted to make sure that there was a way for the information from the Cancer Center to get to the people. I think that was the impetus in the beginning, because people fear more what they don't know or don't understand. And the more we communicate with what's happening and why we're doing it, and even getting people who participated in these things to be spokespersons for this in terms of this whole clinical trial process. And what has been your response since you've been at the UIC Cancer Center with the response to people wanting to become more engaged in clinical trials?
Yeah, there's so many amazing ways to, like, reach to us, right? One is you can just ask your doctor. That's the easiest, straightforward one, and referrals can be made and whatnot. We're all over social, right? You go on social media, it's UI Cancer this, we're doing this, we're doing that, and you can certainly find us in that way. For folks who kind of want to get on a webpage, you know, if you go to the UI Cancer webpage, it's cancer.universityillinois.edu. if you go to that webpage and you click on clinical trials, it's so open. Anybody can know what we're doing. Nothing's hidden. You know what trials are, what diseases, what they're trying to achieve. They link to the federal government's website on it. Then they link to potentially the company. And it's full, so people can come in really educated before they come in. So that's one aspect of it. But as you know, and we've been talking about this here, word of mouth means a lot. And so when we do these road shows in the communities, in the churches, in the other hospitals, in the catchment, in this catchment area of what we call UI Health, which is all of really South and West Chicago neighborhoods, when we go into those other hospitals in those regions, those doctors also want to send patients to clinical trials and whatnot. So they invite us to come talk to their doctors in those communities. But we always take a patient with us, and more than one sometimes. And they talk about their experiences of what it was like to come in. So it's one thing for me to sit here and talk about this is what the experience is like, but to hear it from somebody who's actually been through it, like Rep Evans has just talked about of his experience, when you hear it from those people about what it's like, it resonates in a different way. So that's absolutely something we got to do, and it's something we do. So it's, again, multi-pronged, right? Like we got all the modern ways of doing it, Instagram, whatever's out there. And then on the other end, just the very traditional, getting into the barbershop, talking to the church, going to the community hospitals with people, talking about their doing it. We're full coverage. And of course, we're here with you, Dr. Mason.
Oh, yeah. We're always going to be here. I mean, I thank the team at the UIC Cancer Center. Right now, just parenthetically, the company I'm working with, actually my company called God's Pharmacy, because one of the things that is clear to me is that food is an important part of the restoration and prevention process. And so what I've done is that when you look at our communities, many of them are not overflowing with the kinds of places they need in order to get the food with the right quality. And that's what we decided to take on, and that's what I've been doing now. We've been working now with Anthony Williamson. We started out with Vernon Park, and now we're at another place. But we produce organically, reproduce foods that do not use any organophosphate preservatives. It's done in a way that continues to preserve the earth. This will be our almost fourth year. And last year we grew about 28,000 pounds of food, and including in that package was three different kinds of watermelon, in addition to the cantaloupes and the everything else. So we do this every single year, and if people want to be involved, what it does is it's a community sponsored agriculture project. And so it's not like a store you can go and buy stuff from, but what it is, you buy a share. And the share, half share, 275, and full share, 500, gives you access to the food that grows the entire season. So food will be good. Seeds will be going into the ground as soon as the weather permits us, and we will have food available depending on how the weather goes. But that food takes us all the way up to just before Thanksgiving, sometime depending on the weather. And everything is fresh, everything. And the number, I'll just give them a number real quick for those who want to call to get the information to sign up. It's 872-904-8751. One more time. Number is 872-904-8751. And because this happened, because in my time as the director of public health for both the city and the county, what we saw were obviously a lot of places, particularly when we looked in certain areas in the southern suburbs, Ford Heights, and a number of those places where there aren't access to even some of the grocery stores to get this sort of thing. And we work with the residents out there, and actually work with the Department of Public Health to build, grow, to put raised beds in some of these areas along with the residents working along with us to actually make sure that the seeds were planted and the food was harvested. And they got the food themselves that worked on the farm or worked on the plant. So I'm really a big proponent, and I'm grateful to see what you're doing, State Representative. It's really, really so important, and to understand how the doctors need to speak the language of the people. And so that's why I'm so grateful that the UIC Cancer Center is engaging that way. Doc, you want to talk a little more about how would people know what kind of studies or what kind of trials are going on? I just want you to say it right now. You can always use this show to get that information out, but go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I just want to close with one comment on what you're talking about with the food. And there's this phrase we have at our cancer center. It's and you might have heard it. It's food is medicine, right? And we fully believe in those types of interventions that help not just not get cancer, but even after one has cancer, there's clear evidence that eating right, working out, exercise, all those good habits, good lifestyle skills will keep that cancer from coming back. So we really believe strongly in this. So just applause to you for your efforts in the community of making sure good food gets to people. And just hats off to you for that. But going back to your question about how do people find out? The first thing to know about cancer is there is not a single thing we do in cancer where we can't do it better. Now, sometimes that means people aren't doing well and we need to make better medicines and better treatments and better tests to escalate, to make more available so patients do better. But what's interesting is in other cancers, we're doing actually pretty good, but we're given such toxic medicines that we're hurting people and we don't need to do that anymore. So on the other end of the spectrum, we're trying to figure out where we can make it easier and not lose lives, right? And so we're doing research on both ends of the spectrum. So I don't want anybody to come in and go, oh, they wouldn't have a trial for this, because chances are whatever we're doing is not perfect. And there may be a study where we're trying to figure out how to either escalate what we're doing or back off a little bit, right? And both ends of those are important. So if you are diagnosed or worried about or could have cancer, I think it's super important to just let your initial doctor know, I'm worried about these things and I do want research. Once that happens and they get sent to a place like UI Health where we have all these clinical trials, we've got hundreds, we can then really get people matched up into studies that make sense for them and that are written in many cases for those communities and people coming from those communities. They're very well, we call them bespoke, right? They're tailored for the people we are most likely going to see in our clinics. And so chances are there's a trial. There's something for somebody to do. Sometimes it's, you know, medicines, like I said. Sometimes it's tests. Sometimes it's donating a specimen so that we get enough specimens from Black people to then analyze those and say, what's different about this community? Why are these medicines not working the same way? Here's what's going on. Now that we know that, let's write a trial, figure that out, and solve that problem. So all of it matters, and we hope people kind of come in with an open mind and know that while they're fighting their cancer in the best way possible, they're also doing something that's going to help their brothers and their sisters and their community, and not just in Chicago, but around the country, around the world. So that just ask, and we probably have something for you.
Now, the one thing I also want to comment on is that, you know, most cancers are not familial. In other words, they don't necessarily run in families. What I found is dietary patterns run in families. The way people eat or prepare things run in families. And those are the things that can sometimes create risk, that the actual genetic risk for somebody having it is really much, much lower than some of these environmental and behavioral risks. So I'm glad to participate in any way that we can. If there's any caller out there that has a question, please, the number 773-591-1690, 773-591-1690. And the operator will let me know if there's a call, and if it is, I'll take the call, because I want to make sure we hear from you and that we answer the question that you have about what we're talking about, because it's so important, and we want you to get that information. I want you to be able to avail yourselves of the services. And I've had UI Cancer comes on every first Sunday of the month, and so we have an opportunity to continue this dialogue as we go forward, and looking forward to continuing it. So, State Representative Evans, I know you've been, you know, back in the early days when we met, when I was at the city, you've always been a proponent, even doing what you were doing with what was happening with you as an individual, and letting people know that, you know, it's not a death sentence, that treated early, you can live a very long, fruitful, and productive life. You want to comment a bit about that, State Rep?
Oh, yeah, I think, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to serve as an elected official, because I just love people, man. Like, I couldn't be an accountant or an actuary. You know, I'm a people person. I love talking to people, and the joy of the job is people will tell you what's going on if you just talk to them. And I just spend time talking to people everywhere, all throughout the community, all throughout the state, and quite frankly, all throughout the country. And, you know, people just need to be talking about healthcare. People just need to be talking about these things and normalizing. You know, when you don't know something, it feels like you're stupid. It's really ignorance. Ignorance is a beautiful thing because you can eliminate ignorance. You know, just like we're going to eliminate cancer, just get the information, just get the talking about it. Hey, what's going on here? And like the doctor's saying, all of these smart people in healthcare, they want to help. You know, it may be some doctors who are, you know, have an agenda to just work for the pharmaceutical company. People have bad experiences. Get away from those doctors. If your doctor is not talking about good things, and they're just hustling medicine, we don't want those type of doctors. But there's so many good doctors who will give you the right information. We just got to talk about it. And I want to make this a conversation in my barbershop and the beauty shops, at the churches, on the basketball court, you know, wherever black people let in the restaurants while we're waiting for our food. Hey, man, what do you think about blah, blah, blah? You know, and if our young people as well, you know, we have to make sure we penetrate our schools, have our young people talking about, hey, I want to be healthy. I'm going to live a healthy life. You know, my grandmother's going to make it from cancer, you know. And as we increase the discussions, the information will just flow, man. Like a recipe in the family, right? When you start talking about things, it takes on its own life. And that's why I'm going to always talk about healthcare, because we talk about crime, we talk about jobs and all these other things. But if we're not alive, all those other things don't even matter. So let's keep black folks alive. You know? And that's one of my focuses as elected official.
You know, that's great here. And yesterday I was coming home on an Uber, ran into an Uber driver who listened to the show for a long, long time. And I hope he's listening today. I did write the name, put the name in, but for one reason I can't. If you're listening, call in, let us know. Let's go to the phone bank. I'm sure we got a few callers. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, you got me, brother?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Don't call me sir, Dr. Mason. I work for a living. Dr. Mason, I want to thank you for all you do, and I want to thank you for your humanity to humans. I was devastated when you got out of the prostrate field. I was on my way to you. I was on the doorstep. I want to ask our guest, there's a new prostrate procedure called Tulsa Pro. It was approved by the FDA in 2019. It destroys cancer tissue from inside the prostate with ultrasound. And I just want to ask the guy, is he aware of this new procedure called Tulsa Pro?
Thank you for the question.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah, I've heard of this. And essentially what people can do is stick a little probe inside the cancer and then generate ultrasound waves at real high energy and basically destroy the cancer from within. And the hope is that doesn't damage any of the surrounding important tissues, because the prostate is near some, I'll just be very colloquial, important plumbing for men in that area, right? And if you damage some of that, you could have problems with urination and nerve feeling and erections and things like that. So we got to be real careful in that area. So yeah, this is one of the things that some doctors are now offering. Having said that, some of the other things we've been doing forever, the traditional things like surgery and then the radiation therapy, have also improved over the years and have become more precise. So without telling you this is the right one or that's the right one, it's definitely something you want to talk to your doctor about. Ask him, of these ways to get rid of my local prostate cancer, which is the one you recommend for me? And have a good discussion about all the options. And hopefully one of them comes out as a winner, is like that one makes the most sense for me after having that discussion.
And I'm happy to have, if you identified, if you have those such specialists there at the Cancer Center, I'd be happy to have them on and have a conversation like this so that we, you know, we can give that to our listeners. Let's go on to our next caller. Caller, you on the air, go right ahead.
Yeah, good. And this is Smoking Joe. Look, this is an amazing show, and the topic is definitely something, you know, a great topic. Is your caller aware of Henrietta Lacks, the young lady, the black woman who in 1951?
Oh, yeah, where her cells were taken without.
Were taken without her permission?
Yeah, in fact, the previous director of the Cancer Center brought Henrietta Lacks and her family to Chicago. And she actually, they presented this information at the University of Illinois. So, yes, we are very familiar with it. But go ahead, sir.
I brought that up. And so for people who may not know, this woman here had ovarian cancer. And at the time, they treated her with chemotherapy, I guess, at the time. And they harvested some of the cells to study it. And most people's cells only have a limited amount of time they can divide outside the body. But her cells kept dividing, and they lived outside the cells. That's why they call them these miracle cells. They don't die. And they think her cells are still living today, and they're using labs all across the world. So my question is a couple for one. Has there been any studies done or research in terms of how the effects of melanin and chemotherapy? Because I was reading in Pub Medical, which is a research site, that there are some direct links in terms of how melanin is anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer, and they're doing a lot of nanotechnology research in that in terms of how to aid in medical studies. And then lastly, I was going to say is that there is something called, I think, There's a website for trials, for human trial. I mean, clinicaltrials.gov. Clinicaltrials.gov for people who may be interested in being involved in research. And I think some of it's paid as well. Clinicaltrials.gov for black people who want to get involved with medical studies.
Thank you very much for that, brother. You're right. Let's go ahead and have our guests respond to what you just said.
Yeah, I'll start with the second part of that question about clinicaltrials.gov. That's a great resource. If anybody ever goes to that, and sort of goes through and sort of like you can figure out where you live, what trials are open at what hospitals and all that kind of stuff. But you can also go straight to the hospital, our cancer center's website, and figure it out from that direction. So they kind of cross link back and forth. But clinicaltrials.gov is an amazing resource. I use it. They not only talk about it in doctor terms, but if you click a tab, they talk about it in patient terms so that it's easy to understand. So I'm a big fan of that, so I'm glad you brought that up. It's a great way to know about trials that are going on. Going back to the other issue about Henrietta Lacks, acknowledging that was a big mistake and a big misstep in medicine, and it's one whose legacy we continue to fight because it was another episode where we lost trust, and the story is exactly as your caller talked about. These doctors harvested these cells and were able to get them to grow from this patient. Never told the family, never told the patient. Come to find out many, many years later, the name of the cells is HeLa. He for Henrietta, La for Lacks. That's what had the cells' names came to be. And an investigative reporter by the name of Rebecca Skloot went to the family and started talking to them and kind of figured out what was going on. And Dr. Nguyen did bring the family to Chicago years ago to kind of talk about their experience. And it's really made everybody take notice about consenting people, getting their permission before you use their specimens, and even where possible, you know, figuring out if there's a way we can honor that contribution financially, right? So we're working through these issues, and I'm glad to say most people have pivoted to doing this in an ethical and responsible way with community buy-in, patient buy-in, family buy-in to make sure it's fair. And then the last thing about this question about melanin, I'll be honest, I don't know exactly that research. You know, there's only about 50,000 papers being produced a year, so I hadn't come across that one, but you got my interest piqued. I suspect there are some factors that you see in some of these cells in certain populations, like black patients as opposed to white patients in certain cancers, that could protect. And if we could just figure out what that is, maybe then we can turn that into a medicine or a test or what have you. So this is why the getting the specimens from as diverse amount of patients as possible is super important, because it may not only save the life of that one patient, but it may mean something to that entire community. So just to pivot back, it's, you know, yeah, it's great to do drug trials and diagnostic trials or what have you, but we also just need the specimens to figure out how these things, these cancers are thinking, so we can find their weak spots and then exploit them and kill them, right? So it's important. We just got to do it in a respectful manner that makes sure everybody understands what we're doing with these things.
I want to do a show, Doc. Maybe we get you on again. And I want to talk specifically around food and cancer, because obviously that's something I'm very, very much interested in, and understanding the role that inflammation actually plays in carcinogenesis or the development of cancer, and how inflammatory you can see regular basis are. So if you put that as a pin in the back, I'd like for you to, for us to think about a show talking about, okay? Talking about inflammation.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be a lot of fun to talk about. It's one of my favorite topics, so I'm game.
Yeah, well, I love it too. State Rep, did you have any comments that you wanted to make?
No, just, you know, I'm so glad you did this show. And, the doctor, thank you for all your work. And, you know, I'm not a doctor. Again, I couldn't pass those biology and chemistry classes. But I want people to know that whatever role you can play in spreading news about healthcare is important. We're going to talk about Henrietta Lacks. You know, it may be, you know, black women are special, you know. It may be something else we're missing when it comes to another Henrietta Lacks that may have something going on with their body. It may be another reason why things are happening. And let's get those answers and just keep black people alive. That's really something I'm passionate about. And just thank you, Dr. Mace, for all your work, and the other doctor for being here so we can, again, make change for the future. And not just for today. Again, everything we're doing for generations down the line. That's what I'm thinking about when I talk about healthcare. You know, we want to make sure the issues we face today are not issues we face 20 years from now.
And your bill has it been called? Is it coming up for vote soon so people can call their reps and let them know that we want them to support this bill?
Oh, yes. It's House Bill 5405, House Bill 5405. And it'll be coming up for a vote in the House of Representatives, and hopefully it passes in the Senate. You know, because again, we want to make sure our institutions are prioritizing diversity. We know the University of Illinois is, but we want them all to. You know, we know that Loyola Medicine is talking about doing good things and working with a young lady, Shayna Cruz, down in Springfield, who works for Loyola Medicine. But we need everybody hands on deck to keep black people alive and to improve health outcomes from our community.
Well, you know, State Rep, you got an open ear here, and anytime you know a bill is coming up, and we want to put the pressure on, just let us know. I'd be happy to help in any way that I can, and certainly use this show in any way that we can to make people aware of what their representatives may have some power to do, and want to make sure that they are knowledgeable and exercise that. So I really thank you, and I thank you for everything. And I remember when you were going through what you were going through, the courage and the transparency that you had to talk about. I think we talked about it on my show, if I remember correctly, State Rep. We talked about it on the show, and you were very transparent, and I appreciate that, because that's not easy to do all the time, and some people, you know, have a hard time coming up with, but you were very straightforward, and I really appreciate the courage that you took to let people know that, hey, and look, and here you are, still here, still going. So it's just a testament to show that things are not death sentences if we get to them and take care of them quickly. But I just want to thank you guys. We're still having a few more minutes left in the show. And I want to, again, I put the number out because what I'm doing is what I think is my part, and that is making sure that people have great food to eat. And that's that number, if you're interested in subscribing, it's 872-904-8751. I'll give the number again. It's 872-904-8751. And that gives you just, all you do is call that number, leave a message. You'll have a message on the voicemail. We will send out information to you. Although you have already, the people that have already sent out, you can look to expect to get your information later this year. Later this week. All of this will be coming through. So I'll be looking forward to getting that to you. So it's really, really, really important. And Doc, I just want you to know I really appreciate your energy. And you got some, both you and State Representative, you have a few minutes to make some parting words. You got a few minutes. So take a few minutes. What would you like to see people do, and how would you like to see them do it?
I guess I can go first. First, I want to do my thanks as well. Dr. Mason, I've listened to your program before. What a service to the community, for the state. I hope people far and wide listen to this and to learn about what you're doing inside the community with your own hands. That's even more inspiring. So thank you for that. And Rep. Evans, it's well and good for us to come up with ideas and all this kind of stuff. But if we don't have doers like you who actually get it done and get bills passed and legislation kind of across people's desks to sign, none of this works. So just a sincerest, heartfelt thank for you being an advocate for cancer patients and for the entire University of Illinois health system and the state in general. So just sincere thanks there. One of the things, I've been a healthcare innovator for much of my career. And what that means is I take new ideas and try to get them to market, right? I want the things we think about to actually reach patients where a doctor can prescribe it and make something good happen. And one of the things that's really kept me up at night is this idea of innovation leading to more disparity, which means when good new things come, the haves seem to keep getting it and the have-nots are delayed in getting it or never get it at all. And we just make the gap get bigger and bigger and bigger. I wanted to be at a place where through the research, through the community engagement, and all of these things that we've been talking about today, where we close that gap by making sure good new things get to everybody at the same time. And so I'm proud of what we're doing here because we're setting up what I call a national model. We're teaching people how to do this in a respectful, effective manner so that everybody gets the good new stuff right out of the gate without having to wait. It's super important to make sure we don't introduce new ways in which people are getting different outcomes. And so that's really kind of my closing thoughts are, let's be all part of this so that we know that these communities get the best we can do as fast as we can do it.
I don't know if we have another caller, but I'd like to get, if there is one, let's try and get in before the show's over. Is it, caller, do we have a caller there?
Yes, this is Maddie. Hi. I'd like to thank all of you for the information you're giving. It's so needed. Dr. Alvinia Fulton, who studied nutrition, came out with the information that we must eat fruits and vegetables and drink water in order to stay healthy. These are the keys to staying healthy, but the public does not know how important it is. What we're eating affects our health. If you don't get that fiber, fruits, vegetables, nutrition, and water in you, you will get sick. And we have to concentrate on learning these facts that we sometimes have never been told and have not been concentrated on in order to stay healthy. This is something we must know. So thank you, Dr. Terry Mason, and the other doctors for just giving this information out. We need it so badly. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We have another caller. We'll try and get squeezed in. Caller?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air. Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to ask this question about the therapy. It's known all over the world about wherever the American standard diet goes, there goes the diseases that Americans have. but there's been therapy concerning the metabolic therapy, and that's kind of a challenging the idea about the standard of care with cancer at this time that relating to genes, but it seems to be more so about the food.
All right. Anyway, if you want to tackle that question, sir, either of you.
Yeah, I can take a stab at it. Yeah, so essentially, Dr. Gotti again. So essentially, what you're pointing out is important, which is your zip code may be more important than your genetics. The food that's available to you where you live, the quality of that food, the environment where you are, there's a chemical plant down the street, that kind of thing. All of that stuff matters as much as or potentially more than the genetics of the patient. And so trying to manage and control all those bad sources, right, is important. And the food as medicine is really interesting. If you go to the grocery store, getting an organic apple costs more than a Pop-Tart. That's something real wrong with that, right? And so figuring out how to make this high quality, good quality food, water, clean water, all of these things affordable and achievable is I think one of the most important things we can do. And that's where Dr. May's work, I think, and what he's trying to achieve makes such an impact in making sure cancer incidence goes down, because it's clearly linked to cancer.
Thank you. And as usual, we're out of time. We're all out of time. And that's what happens every, and we got to get you both back. State Rep, we got to get you back just to make sure before the bill gets called, that people know to call their reps and tell them that we want them to support this bill. Doc, I'm really, really, we're going to have a lot of conversations. I feel that we have, like State Representative, we have a kindred spirit. And I want to thank you all for what you're doing. It's just so impactful. But we're out of town and out of time. The next voice you're going to hear that is Pam Morris Walton, who's coming to make a joyful noise over the radio. And until next week at this same time and station, may God continue to bless each and every one of you with continued health and strength as I leave you now in peace.
Chicago is 1690 WVON, Sherwin, Chicago. Father.